And it is with joy that we have the opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters in this special time. For a scripture, I'd like to share with you from the book of Alma, chapter 5, starting at verse 23. And now the Spirit knoweth all things. Nevertheless, the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now, behold, this is the testimony which is in me. Now I say unto you, you must repent and be born again, for the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, who is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth and show unto your God that you are willing to repent of your sins and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments and witness unto him this day by the going into the waters of baptism. Let's continue with our worship with hymn number 257, You Must Be Born Again. We stand.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, it is with great joy in our hearts that we have gathered here this evening to witness the ordinance of baptism and laying on of hands. As Luann and Mike make their commitments unto thee and are baptized in the water, that their sins might be washed away and that they might come forth new creatures in thee. Father, we pray the angels of heaven to be here this night to witness this and to share in our joy and our desires to do thy will. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and we pray thy richest blessings upon the candidates who will be baptized tonight. We thank you, Lord, and we ask your divine guidance and your spirit to be present with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good evening. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you, Mike and Luann, for inviting us. I thought I was going to have more room than this. I'm sorry. Get my notes out. Somebody's not happy out there. Yes, it is. Mike and Luann, praise be to God for your decision that you have made in your life. It's a life-changing decision, and I've been right where you're sitting before. And a lot of us have been born in the church and raised in the church. When we came 8 years old, we were baptized. I didn't know anything about the church until my wife introduced me to it. Several years ago, 30-some-odd years ago, my wife gave me this pamphlet, little track here. I think George had some of them in the rack back here. They're wonderful. I went through a difficult time when it came time for me to make my decision to become a member of this church and be a part of Zion. And it's a lifelong commitment. It's not just a part-time job. It's full-time. Anyway, several years ago, when I decided it was time, we were down in Atherton at the little the break room, I'll call it. And I'd started going regular. And one of the members, he was a deacon. He became priesthood. And I was leaving one morning. He says, "I want to baptize you, Glenn." Okay. It was several weeks later or months later. That was done. But I want to read just a little bit from this little tract. It has a couple of verses I want to read. But the realization came to me one day. I sat down and I started reading this word for word. And I came to this part, baptism for remission of sins. And before I could read that, a voice came to me and said, "Be baptized in the fullness of my word." And I took him at his word. Matthew 1:4-5, "John did baptize in the wilderness and did preach baptism of repentance for remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism and repentance and remission of sins. And that's in Luke 3. May I? I want to read, as I understand it, you were very diligently in your studies, very hard studying, and asked a lot of questions. I probably didn't study as long as hard as you did, but it came to me. I want to read from Matthew 9, starting in the 18th verse through 23. And I think we had Brother Green talked to us about the Pharisees and Sadducees, how they were in law, and they stuck to the letter of the law. Then said the Pharisees unto him, Jesus, why will you not receive us with our baptism, seeing we kept the whole law? But Jesus said unto them, ye kept not the law. If ye had kept the law, ye would have received me. And I am he who gave the law. I received not you with your baptism, because it profiteth you nothing. For when that which is new is come, the old is ready to be put away. For no man putteth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, for which it is put into the fill it up. For that taketh away the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do man put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine in new bottles, both are preserved. When you look, also, excuse me, being baptized, you not only take on the resemblance of Jesus dying and coming back, as with baptism, but you make a covenant with God. And this is something that really stuck with me, because this is something that my wife told me a lot about. Boy, where would I be without her today? In a worse place. And I'm going to read from Mosiah 9:43 on the 44. And now it came to pass that Alma took Helam, he being of the first, and went and stood forth in the water crying, saying, O Lord, pour out thy spirit upon thy servant, that he may do this work with holiness in his heart. And when he had said those words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he said, Helam, I baptize thee, having the authority from Almighty God, as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead as to the mortal body. And may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, and may he grant unto you life eternal throughout the redemption of Christ, which he had prepared from the foundation of the world. And after Helam had said these words, both Alma and Helam were buried in the water, and they rose and came forth rejoicing, being filled with the Spirit. So I'm not going to do any more of that. Anyway, Mike, as you begin your, Mike and Luann, as you begin your covenant with God, we are there with you anytime. You can come to any of us and ask a question if you need some answers, and if we can't figure it out, we'll get one for you. But we're in all this together. It's not just you. We're here with you. Thank you very much.
You turn to your insert, Blessed Assurance. We will sing this, and towards the latter part of that last verse, Dale, if you would bring Luann and Mike up.
Luann Thompson, having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
You will witness the baptism of Mike Thompson by priest Dale Bashears.
Mike Thompson, Having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
I love you guys. We love you, all of you.
Would anybody like to say amen?
Amen.
I know this brings memories probably of your baptism, so we're going to take some time here, and I've asked a few individuals to share about baptism and what it means in their life, and I've asked Fred Stewart. We've heard Betty talk many times, so now we're giving Fred to actually tell us the rest of the story tonight. So Fred, would you come up and share your experience? And Betty, you stay seated.
Yeah, I can talk, but she beats me all the time.
Well, talk real loud so they can hear.
Okay. My baptism, I was baptized at about 48 years old, something like that. I'd been in another church but a long time ago, but it didn't soak in very good for me. This one didn't either for a while. So, but anyway, it was a very difficult situation for me because most of my friends weren't in the church. Very few of them were, in fact, but some were. But it was a real hard decision for me, and I really didn't want to get baptized. There wasn't any reason. And Betty was pretty good about not nagging me. She tried that for a while to get me to go to church, but that didn't work. So she backed off, and I'm glad she did the way she did. But anyway, we were going on life. We had two girls and one little boy, and he got an extension cord and got electrocuted. And I could handle that pretty good, but Betty had a little baby a year old that was her whole life. I mean, spent all of her time with her, and that's only natural. But through this anyway, I finally agreed to go to some classes, which I didn't really want to go, but I went again. I thought I was doing her a favor. And we went to classes quite a while, and eventually I saw some things that, that seemed real to me, and it seemed like it was more that, I mean, I didn't think it was a chance in the world. This is a church I want to get into. But as things went along, and I guess learned more truth, and I'm sure the Lord worked with me, and a lot of other people, I don't think I could have escaped it. They had the women's department praying for me. But anyway, I came in willing, but before that I really wasn't willing. But anyway, so finally, after I don't know how long, after Barney passed away, probably a year or two, I finally realized the need to be baptized. I didn't change my life as good as I should have then, but I'm still working on it. But anyway, I'm thankful for the people that did pray for me. I'm thankful for my wife because she's been a real support, and Some of you know how much she put up with, some of you don't. But anyway, it was the best thing that ever happened to me, and I still got a long way to go, but I know that there's always somebody out there that'll help you, and that's good to know. So thank you all. Amen.
Brother Glenn, when he was sharing, he mentioned that he'd been baptized not too long ago, so I decided not to ask Glenn about his baptism, but ask his wife about Glenn's baptism. So, Rowena, would you come up and share about Glenn's experience? Said yes then.
You're right. Dan asked me, and it kind of took me off guard for a second. I thought, wow, well, this is a little bit different. His baptism took about 33 years. And since we are on limited time tonight, I won't go through the whole 33 years. But when we first met, the church was very important to me, and I was just really learning about it. I had not been baptized and been in it for that many years myself, and we talked a lot before we got married. We talked a lot about our faith, our beliefs, and Christ in our lives. He was a member of the Assembly of God, and he had had some marvelous testimonies, more marvelous than what I had had. And I knew that even though he wasn't a member of this church, I knew that the Lord had worked in his life. There was no doubt about it. And I felt very assured that he would, once he heard the fullness, once he heard the gospel of the kingdom, that it would just add to what his belief was. And I just felt very, very assured and very confident that he would become a member. And so we were married, and he went to church with the kids and I for about 9 years. until we moved to Independence, till we moved to Zion. And that move didn't turn out the way we thought it would. Things were not all as well. And we had a very hard time finding a church to go to. And I drifted away, and he did too. And then I started going to Atherton, and he would come every once in a while. But it wasn't until the little garage church, and he felt at home there. I had most of you know that I had knee replacements about 3 years ago, just a few months before he was baptized. And I had been administered to two or three or four times. And I believe in the power of administration. I believe the Lord can heal you, you know, and I believe he can do it right there or at some point. But I was told one day, whenever I was really pondering on it and couldn't understand why that I wasn't healed of that, that that was not my testimony to have at the time. And I really didn't understand that either. But as I look now, the Lord is just incredible how he lays things out for you. Whenever I had my replacements and I was recovering, there was so many of you guys that came to our home and brought food and brought fellowship, and you would sit and visit and talk, and Glenn loved it. And when Eric said in his sermon this morning that it is the love of the saints, I will tell you, we don't realize most times the power of of the love of the saints that comes through Jesus Christ. And I really believe that it was totally that moment, that was the defining moment when he finally, he believed in the Book of Mormon beforehand. He believed in enough in what we were, what I believed in, that he uprooted from his home, you know, and moved to Independence because that's where I felt we should gather. But it was the love of the saints that finally sealed the deal. And I thank God for it every day.
Sister Doris. Oh, there you are.
I was born and raised in the church, but not this one. It was the Christian church. And when my mother took me to church, we walked. We didn't have cars, so I would have to go. That was the closest church, and it was fine. It wasn't too many waves made. But as I got a little older, quite a bit older, I got away from it a little bit, and I moved over here from up north of the river where I lived for a long time. I started out in Wyandotte County, but I ended up in north of the river for years. And I moved out here, and the church didn't do anything for me. I was missing something. I knew there was something better. And I was thinking about going to the Nazarene Church. That was going to be my next one. I was going to try. Then I met Vernon, and of course, he lived across the street. I never paid any attention to him, but except that he was kind of loud. So when my husband died and his wife died, we started going together, and rather quickly, because he had been taking care of her for a very long time. And so I read the Book of Mormon, and I was going to go to my church, and he was going to come here most of the time, and then once in a while he said he'd come to mine, and I thought that's not going to be right. So I didn't particularly, all that they did in the Book of Mormon was fight, you know, through the whole scriptures. So I thought, what is this teaching me? So he finally convinced me, and of course you don't get around Vernon and talk anything but the church and scriptures. So finally I decided that, okay, if I had to be baptized again, I guess it'd be all right. But I didn't see any reason for it at the time, at first. And then I thought, okay, I'll do it. Because I was baptized when I was 12, a long 100 years ago. And so Vernon baptized me down at Atherton on April the 27th of 2003. And we were married on the 12th of April before that. And I said, I'm not going to get baptized and then get married, because everybody's going to think I had to get baptized or you wouldn't marry me. So my independent streak was working pretty good. So anyway, April 27th was my father's birthday, and my mom died on that day years ago. And I thought, this is going to make a happier memory on that day than what I had. So I've been perfectly contented. I don't want to go back to that church for anything. And this one keeps me busy. So I think that I made the right decision. Enough.
Brother Allen? This is a wonderful day, wonderful night. I hope I can share what I'd like to share with you. Some of you've heard it, some of you haven't. Luann, if you want to chime in at any time with your part of the testimony, feel free. We are richly blessed to be in this community. There's many good people here. This church is surrounded with good people. I've been privileged to visit with virtually everyone that lives around the close circumference of this church, something like 8 homes. Very good, wonderful people. And as we'd said here in our services, this little house to the left, your right,
there was some partying going on and that type of thing, and it just didn't seem quite conducive to the worship services we were having here. And all of a sudden, whoever was there moved out. And Dwayne Shropshire owns that home. He's the one that signed off on the church building. And so I approached him. I don't know why I approached him, what propelled me to approach him, but I approached him and I told him, I said, you know, as a church, we'd like to see some good people in that church, in your house. He said, well, and I said, I'll see if I can find somebody. And he said, well, go right ahead. And he said, I'm not going to put a sign up there in the near future anyway, and I've got to do work on it, and you just go right ahead. And so we kind of got the word out, and we had somebody call the first night. Boy, I was excited, because they, if I mentioned their name, you would know them. And within 24 hours, it fell through, and I was deeply disappointed. Then a couple of days later, we got another bite, and once again, I was hopeful, and it fell through. So after a couple of weeks, I became discouraged, and I guess I didn't have enough faith. And we were having our gospel music out here on the Sunday night, and I don't know particularly why, but I looked up and there was a little red car basically stopped in front of the house, and they kind of came over where we were. And it's not normal for me to walk up to a stranger, but I did, and they rolled down their window. It was Mike and Luann, and they asked about the house. And I said, I can take you to the owner. And I jumped in their vehicle. I never jump in anybody's vehicle, let alone a stranger's. And we got about right in front of the church. And I told them, I said, we're looking for somebody that won't be having parties at that house. And they said, we do not party, we're very quiet. And I said, yeah. They met with Dwayne. You rented it that night, didn't you? They rented the house that night. And this is where the story really starts. We didn't have a clue that the Lord had brought them here, that they would attend our church, and that they would make a commitment to their Heavenly Father this night. We're all extremely pleased. And that is nothing compared to what your Lord and Savior thinks this night and all the angels in heaven. Thank you.
Dan, George, I just a little bit more.
Oh.
Come on, Bert.
About 3 years after we were married, she was going through some paperwork, and she had a brother that passed on, as an older brother, I think, wasn't it? And she was looking for his birth certificate, I think, in some of the paperwork that she had. And she come across a little piece of brown paper there, and she unfolded it, and she looked, Vernon, come and look at this. It was her blessing certificate in the RLDS church when she was a little baby. And the Lord has brought her clear around, and he brought her and her husband over from North Kansas City before her husband passed away, because I would have never known him. I would never have went to North Kansas City after a woman. We did have a lot of fun about this. The cheapest date I could get, just walk across the driveway. But anyway, I told that at a priesthood meeting then shortly after she'd found that. And there were several weeping eyes in that priesthood meeting that morning.
I think we're ready to continue with our service. If Richard and Farron would come up, and we'll continue with the second part of our service.
Mike and Luann. Night's still pretty young, so I'm going to start my comments in Genesis in the beginning. So we got plenty of time, right? Genesis 1:2 tells us, I am the beginning and the end, the Almighty God. By mine only begotten I created these things. Yea, in the beginning I created the heaven and the earth upon which thou standest. And in Genesis 2:5, for I, the Lord God, created all things of which I have spoken spiritually before they were naturally upon the face of the earth. For I, the Lord God, had not caused it to rain upon the face of the earth. And I, the Lord God, had created all the children of men, and not yet a man to be tilled, and not yet a man to till the ground. For in heaven I created them, and there was not yet flesh upon this earth, neither in the water, neither in the air. But I, the Lord God, spake, and there went up a mist in the earth, and the water the whole face of the ground. And I, the Lord God, formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, for the first flesh upon the earth, the first man also. Nevertheless, all things were created, but spiritually were they created and made, according to my word. And I wanted you guys to understand what a marvelous and awesome God that you've entered a covenant with. That before there was a star in heaven, before there was a form of earth, he created you two in heaven as spiritual beings. And he placed you on this planet in whatever year you were born. And your entire life, he has guided and directed you, and he's walked with you in your decisions that have led you to this moment. And he, as Alan said, and the angels are very pleased. They rejoice in heaven tonight at the commitment that you've made. And the thing that's so amazing about our God is he created all this universe. He created everything that we see. And if you two were the only two that he knew would make this covenant, he still would have created it because he loves you so much. He loves you to the extent that he knows the numbers of hairs on your head. Every decision that you've made in your life, he's been two steps ahead of you, guiding you and directing you to this place. And we heard just a few testimonies of the interaction you had with Alan on that one night. And I'm sure that if we could read what God has written in heaven, there would be millions of those testimonies where he's guided you and directed you to this point. And if you look around at all these people that sit here and have witnessed your baptism, he's done the same thing for us. Because we are all blessed that we are able to be here and participate in this baptism service with you. And as a branch, we have been blessed. We went through some hard times, and like Rowena said, when she had her knees surgery, she didn't understand everything. And we didn't either. We were a branch in Atherton that had some troubled times that caused us to split. And we had a couple different homes, and there were some troubling times. And a lot of us, me in particular, didn't understand why we were going through that. But now I do know, because it was all part of God's plan. So Mike and Luann could join our branch here in Sibley. In a few moments, you're going to be brought forward, and you're going to be confirmed in this. Spirit will be given to you, the Holy Spirit. We are designed to have the Holy Spirit dwell within us. The analogy that I kept thinking of, we've all seen the little kids' toys where there's round pegs and square pegs, and you got to put the right peg in the right hole. Well, that's the same thing, that the Spirit is with us. He's the only thing that can truly fill us and the way God intended. And there's a lot of people, and I did so as a youth, and Fred alluded to it a little bit, a lot of people search their whole lives for something to fill that hole, to fill that spot that the Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell in. And they do it in diverse ways. And it's always an unhappy, unfulfilling endeavor, because there's only one peg that can fit in that hole, and that's the Holy Spirit. And until we can come to that understanding and accept that gift that God has for us, we are just an empty vessel. But with that gift and that accepting of the Holy Spirit, because it is a gift that God gives to us, it does a lot for us. As I was studying the scriptures, I found several things that becomes a blessing to us by having that Holy Spirit in us. And in John 14, 16 through 17, we're told, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him, because it does not see him. Neither do they know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." He's a comforter. In times, there's probably everyone in this room could come up here and give a testimony at times when they were in despair and they had turmoil in their lives and they prayed for God to give them mercy and they felt that Spirit come upon them and give them peace and comfort them in their times of trial. So that's one thing that you can always look forward to now. That as you go through your life and trials and tribulations come up, you can always pray and God will comfort you. In Romans 5:5, "And hope makes us unashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." So with the Holy Spirit, we get love and hope. God, like I said earlier, he loves you more than anybody in this world. We can't even begin to understand the amount of love that God has for us, that he ultimately sent his son down to die on the cross so we can rejoin him in that heavenly glory. Romans 15:13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So again, it's something else that he can give us, that joy and peace. And not talking about the joy that we get from our earthly lives and things that we think brought us joy. This is a true joy that when you have that Spirit and you experience those things that God has for you, you will not, the joy that you thought you had before would not even measure up. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit is also a teacher. When we study the scriptures, I've heard the testimony where you guys had lots of questions and you sought your scriptures out. As you continue to do that, and there's things you don't understand, you know, like Glenn said, you can come talk to any of us. We'll be happy to try to help you. We'll be happy to try to answer those questions for you. But there's times where the answer can only come from your Heavenly Father. And through the Spirit, I can attest through sermons and things that I've done, when I've gone to him and I've prayed for enlightenment, oftentimes it's the still small voice, it's that Spirit that comes over you that gives you the answers. And that's readily available to you now as well because of the covenant you have made. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that you might know the things that are freely given to us for God. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." So again, the Holy Ghost is a teacher to us. You know, I too, like Doris was saying, I was baptized at the age of 8 in the Baptist church. And then I became a member of the RLDS church in Grand Valley at about 11 and was rebaptized. And a lot of faiths teach that once you've entered into the water of baptism, the journey is over, that you're saved and you don't have to do anything else for the rest of your life, basically. I know they don't really teach that, but that's the basics of it. We don't believe that. We believe that you've just begun a journey. And it's a long journey, and it's a journey that you have to prepare yourself for. You have to be willing to stay on the straight and narrow path. And you have to be willing to make those sacrifices in your lives. And it's not a journey that you have to take alone. You know, if you look at the congregation, there's quite a full house here that are sitting behind you. And as you go on your journey, not only will we stand behind you, but we'll stand beside you, and at times when needed, we'll stand in front of you to defend you. And so you now have a family that's willing to take that journey with you and that will continue to work with you and pray for you and do whatever we can for you to help you on that path. One thing of warning that I would give you is that as you are given this gift of the Holy Spirit, Satan very soon will want to take that from you. And the way that he'll try to take that from you, like we talked about in Sunday school or the sermon this morning is through our sins, because God cannot dwell in an unholy place. And so we must be vigilant that our sins don't become such that that spirit can't work with us anymore. And it's a very subtle way that he'll start working in things from past lives and things that used to be okay. And so you need to be vigilant with your testimony, and be vigilant in your prayer and your study of the scriptures, because I promise you that he will come and try to steal the gifts from you. But the thing that is most awesome about that is, because God, who is infinitely more wiser than we are, he, as another thing he gives us, is the Holy Spirit. Because with the Holy Spirit, we can have that protection and that encouragement to withstand the fiery darts of the adversary. And so God not only rejoices in the decision you've made today, he's also given you the tools that you need to continue your journey and walk on the path that he has set before you and that you have accepted. So for me, I'm very pleased to be able to be a part of this service, and it's very humbling to hear of some of the testimonies and see how God has worked to bring you to this branch, and I think our branch is going to be richly blessed for it.
Brother George and Alan, will you escort Luann and Mike to the seats in front? At this time, you will witness the confirmation and the bestowing of the gift of the Holy Ghost to Luann Thomas by 70 George Mefford and Elder Alan Owings.
Almighty God, our Father who art in heaven, we rejoice in this opportunity to be a part of this service. We rejoice that we have you to turn to. And we rejoice and thank you for the love that you have bestowed upon your children. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has set the example for us and has shown us the way and the means by which we can come back to you. Father, we also thank you for the church that brings people together, where we can become a strength to each other and a support to each other, that we can walk through life and do those things that you'd have us to do. And Father, we thank you for the scriptures that help us understand those things that you wish us to do. And Luann has studied diligently and has asked many questions and has come to that realization that this is what she wants to do. And we rejoice in that decision. Heavenly Father, we are here this evening to lay our hands upon our sister, to confer upon her membership in your church. We are also here to bestow upon her that special gift that you have planned that would be here when you created us and placed us here upon this earth, that our life is incomplete without that Spirit. So you encourage us to study and make a covenant with you and receive this gift. So we pray your blessing upon her, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we now turn to our sister. Our sister, Luann Thompson. Father, I seek your blessing in her behalf as I share with her. Luann, we have placed our hands upon your head to confirm you a member of the Church of Jesus Christ that has been restored in these last days by the prophet that you have set apart, Joseph Smith, in 1830. And we know that he has established his church, and there's many blessings. This has been promised to those who search it out. We also lay our hands upon your head to bestow upon you the special gift that God has intended that we have We can't understand how he can use this Holy Ghost to create the earth and everything that is, because it's so powerful. And yet he can take that small portion and place it in our lives that will give us guidance and assurance and comfort and peace. And grant unto us the power to withstand the temptations of Satan. And Father, we pray that that will happen. So we, Luann, we do this. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I say unto you, as sincerely and as seriously and as humble as I know how, receive ye the gift of the Holy Ghost. May it bless you and keep you and strengthen you all the days of your life, and be a strength to you and your companion. We pray that you now have met, you have entered the gate, which is baptism. You are now on the straight and narrow path, and you'll need your Heavenly Father to be with you and to guide you in order to be able to do those things that He wants you to do on this path. So, Father, we thank you, and we seal this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
At this time, you will witness the confirmation of and the bestowing of the Holy Ghost to Mike Thompson by Elder Alan Owings and 70 George Mefford.
Dear Heavenly Father, this evening we count it an honor and a privilege to be asked by our brother Mike to be a part of his confirmation and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Dear Father, you bless us so much. We know without a shadow of a doubt you have brought Mike to this community and to this church and to this place where he is tonight, as he's walked into the waters of baptism and has been forgiven of his sins, and as he has a new life before him, a life that will last through all eternity. And Mike, I have the privilege to tell you this night that this is only the beginning, that the Lord has a work for you to do, that you will be part of bringing souls to Him, and that you will rejoice as you are allowed to walk hand in hand with Him. And dear Father, this night, once again, as we've placed our hands upon Mike for a confirmation of the Holy Ghost, we do so, confirming him to the Church of Jesus Christ that was restored upon this earth in 1830 by Joseph Smith. And so at this time, we would confirm you with the gift of the Holy Ghost that will reside with you throughout the remainder of your life. And we praise and give all the honor to glory to God for your willingness to come this night and lay down your old life and start a new life dedicated to our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have a certificate that states you've been baptized and a church member's manual. And let me be the first one to welcome you into Christ Church. We have a certificate and a church member. Let me be the first one to welcome you into Jesus Christ Church. Second to
Oh.
you like another amen?
Amen.
Let's continue with the singing of Softly and Tenderly, your other insert. You stand? Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as I come and pray to you for a closing for this service, I do it in reluctance. I feel your spirit so strong. I pray that you will continue to be with Mike and Luann throughout their lives as their journey has just begun. I pray that you will guide them and direct them
and that as a congregation that we will be with them every step of their way. I pray that your Spirit will continue to be with each and every one of us as we make our ways home, that you will continue to be with us, guide us, and direct us. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.